The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 24th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
On the first day of the week, at early dawn, the women came to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but he has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified and on the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words and returned from the tomb. They told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe in them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen clothes by themselves. Then he went home, amazed at what had happened. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. During one of my summers in college, I worked at a t-shirt shop and concessionary stand in West Glacier, just outside of Glacier National Park. And it was an incredible, life-changing summer for me. But that's not really what I'm here to talk to you about. As you can probably imagine, any organization that is mostly staffed by seasonal college-age employees has its dose of shenanigans throughout the summer. And the West Glacier Mercantile Company was one of them. While I was in the shop around every Saturday, I was with my friend Haley, who was getting her theater degree at the University of Utah. And I remember complaining with her about all of the endless amounts of park goers that would come into our shop and that would ask the same kind of questions. What kind of wildlife is there in the park? What is so important about Logan Pass? Or where can we go see wildlife? And of course, these questions would come at a time when there was nothing else going on in the shop, and so we would have to make small talk and answer them every single time. So one day, Haley suggested to me, she says, "You know, I'm going to have a little fun with this, and I am going to use all of my theater skills to try to convince somebody of a made-up animal in the park." And I said, "Wow, okay." Well, soon after she said this, she got her chance. A few women in their park duds came in, and they started looking around, and they asked the question, "Well, what can we see on Logan Pass?" "Well," said Haley, "there's an animal that just came out of hibernation, and you can only see it on Logan Pass." And of course, these women look at each other. "Oh, really? Okay, well, what is it?" And she says, "Cat rabbit." "Actually, it's called cat rabbituum," as she made up, "but cat rabbit for short." Flashing a grin to me, she went on then to talk about what cat rabbits are. You see, they hop like bunnies but are stealthy like cats. How they are both active at night and during the day, and how they have ears like a bunny but whiskers like a cat. Now, two of the women did not look very convinced, and they looked at each other and whispered at one another and went outside. But one of the women stayed put and asked all kinds of questions about cat rabbits, to which Haley did her best to answer them. Now, I continue this day to feel a little bit sorry for these college-age shenanigans. And I feel a little bad for these women, but I especially feel very bad for the ranger who had to take the question about a cat rabbit on Logan Pass. It was all pretty far-fetched. And you know, maybe this Easter Sunday, we are a little afraid too, that we might be as gullible standing in this West Glacier Mercantile t-shirt shop. Jesus Christ? Rising from the dead? No way. That doesn't make sense. It's crazy. It's out there. How do we know someone is not making it up, like my friend making up the fictitious cat rabbits in Glacier National Park? Well, if you secretly feel that the whole message of Easter is a little bit out there, fear not, because the disciples had the same feeling upon hearing from Mary and Joanna. And I kind of have a kick of sometimes how our English translation translates things in kind of funny ways. And this one I really laugh at, because really what it's trying to do is bring down their response to Mary and Joanna to a G-rated movie level. In verse 11, it says, "But these words seemed to them an idle tale." Yes, an idle tale. Well, idle tale, that word is leros from Greek, which it's actually the only term ever used in the New Testament here in Luke. It's a slang term, actually. And it literally means crap, garbage, or bull. You can fill in the blank. Bull crap. That's what they say to Mary and Joanna after they tell that Jesus has risen. Jesus can't be raised from the dead. That's too far out there. Indeed, if we look at the women's success rate at sharing this story, another perspective from it, we'll see that it's not very stellar. Where do they go to proclaim this risen Christ? Well, not to the street corner. They go to the very ones who are closest to them, who were praying that this guy wasn't dead. And yet, these ones also didn't believe them. And yet, they still went. You know, 1 in 11 of the disciples, remember Judas wasn't there, actually went to the tomb. The rest stayed home. Not a very great success rate, not great by any stretch. Anna Carter Florence, a professor at Columbia Theological Seminary, writes, "There is a kind of logic in this story that says we are not supposed to be believed. Because the Easter story that we have to tell is so out there, so crazy, that even the people that are most close to us may not believe us." Florence continues when she writes, "Because if the dead won't even stay dead, what is there to count on? If the world is so upside down that the dead stuff doesn't really even stay dead, how am I going to live my life?" This is hard, out there kind of stuff that rocks us to our core. We don't want to be the gullible one in the t-shirt shop in West Glacier who fell for a joke. I know for myself that I want to be the intelligent, the smart one that has it all together. But I think that believing in the risen Christ, it requires of us to take a leap, to trust a story that many others might say leros, bullcrap, too. So how do we take this leap? How do we actually trust and retell this out there crazy Easter story? Well, you know, one thing that I find very weird when we read this story is that if you look carefully, who's missing? Jesus. Jesus isn't physically present in this story of resurrection. However, there's something that happens in verses 6 through 8, which is key, I think. It reads, "The angels say, 'Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified and on the third day rise again.' Then they remembered his words." Jesus is present, not physically, but present in their remembering. This act of remembering actually is what I call the church's business. This is what we as a church do, especially around the altar, when we share the body and blood of Jesus Christ, the bread and the wine, where, as one of my seminary professors says, where the future breaks into our now, where we practice that future that Christ promises. That's the remembering that happens. That's the act that can ground us in how God works in and loves this world, a world that doesn't make much sense. And so in a world that is so topsy-turvy and is so out there that even death can't be relied upon, remembering, gathering together around the table, supporting one another in faith can be our true foundation and what our faith can cling to. If you think about it, this is what our faith clings to, the remembering of Jesus' promises. And so remembering is what moves the women in this story. It's what moves the women from fear to being apostles. I think the same is true for us. You see, it takes a lot of guts to go out there and to say, "I have seen the risen Christ." Because it's crazy. It's an out there claim that doesn't make a lot of sense. But for us in the church, remembering together around the table in worship as you are now throughout your week, remembering together God's promise that death is not the end. Death is not the end. When we remember this, our telling of this story doesn't have to be filled with fear, but with joy. It grounds us and allows us to do the work of God that changes lives and that changes the world. And so I say to you, may the risen Christ be with us through the bullcrap, but also may we remember and proclaim the out there, the crazy Easter reality. Amen.